I was asking some of you this morning, what are you doing coming to the late service? And for those of you coming for the 10:30 service, you're right on time. Isn't it great to be together in worship in one service again? It's exciting. And I want to thank you for joining us today, both here in person and online. We have viewers literally all across our nation joining us in worship. So thank you. We are in a series called This Matters. We kicked it off with a message, you matter to God. You matter to God and to His church. You matter to this MCC family. You are worth searching for. You are worth forgiving. You are worth dying for. So accept it. And others matter to God too. Part of our mission is to share that news with them and to show them by loving them with the love that the Lord has loved us with. Then we moved on to spiritual things matter. The first and second most important thing we can do, nothing greater, is to love the Lord our God with all of our hearts, our souls, and our minds, and all of our strength. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. Love God, love others. Seek the things of God first, are you? And love others with the love He has loved you, at home, at work, at school, socially, and yes, in the church. This morning, we're going to take it one step further. Your work matters to God. Work is a major component of all of our lives. It's unavoidable. And yet, survey after survey after survey shows that most people are not satisfied with their work. Let me share with you some of the jobs that just didn't quite do it for me as I started off my working years. My first job was working in an orange juice factory, but I got canned because I couldn't concentrate. What? You don't believe I worked in an orange juice factory? Then I worked in the woods, the backwoods of Kentucky, as a lumberjack, but I couldn't hack it, so they gave me the axe. And y'all are so supportive. And then I worked for a little while at the muffler factory, but I didn't work there very long. It was too exhausting. Oh, there's a little more moans and laughs there. And I thought I'd try to be a professional fisherman. But I soon discovered I couldn't live on my net income. All right, I'm going to quit right there. Yeah. I love your support. I know, you know, I never had any of those jobs. But all puns aside and all kidding aside, work is God-given, and work matters. Think of the first words of the Bible. In the beginning, from the very start of everything. And what's the first verb in the Bible? In the beginning, God created. He went to work. God created the heavens and the earth. The Bible doesn't say in the beginning God sat majestically. I'll get it out in a minute. How do you say that word? Majestically? Thank you. She's my vocabulary expert over here. Thank you, Stephanie. I know. In the beginning, God sat majestically in the heavens and gave work orders for the angels to build Him a world. Doesn't say that. It doesn't say in the beginning God was filled with love and beauty. It says in the beginning God created. And even before the fall of humanity, God told our first parents to tend the garden, to work in the garden, to make it fruitful. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. Work is a God-given thing. But when work leaves God out or pushes God to the edge, when work becomes separate from God, it's not work the way God intended for it to be. In Psalm 127, David is writing to his son Solomon, who was going to build the temple. And he says to him, "Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain." If you work in a way that leaves God out, then your work is in vain. That kind of work is unfulfilling, and you come to dread it. You can't wait to change it or to retire from it. Or it leaves you constantly looking for another thing to do that offers more. And I'm not just talking about more money or more benefits. Most of you have probably never heard of Dr. Daniel Doriani, but he holds a Master of Divinity's degree and a PhD from Westminster Theological Seminary, as well as a Master of Sacred Theology from Yale Divinity School. He's a research fellow at Yale University, a professor of theology, and serves as vice president at Covenant Theological Seminary. He's founder and president of the Center for Faith and Work in St. Louis, and was also a lead pastor for 15 years. And yet, with all of that spiritual background, he is best known for a work that took him 20 years and was just published 2 years ago. Work, its purpose, dignity, and transformation. He writes of this experience while interviewing hundreds of people for my book. I noticed how many began to describe their work with two words: I just. Educators say, "I just teach math." Leaders say they just clarify problems or assemble teams. Some of us say, "I just," because we long to stay humble. Others say, "I just," because we never hear the words "well done," or because we can't see the value of our work. So I just work over here. I just go there. I just put in my time. I just work as. Still others say, "I just," because we simply work for the money, or because we lack direction and merely do what we're told. But we should look higher and see that God directs us to work in a way that pleases Him. No matter what we're doing, it should be pleasing to Him and bring glory to His name. Something that serves our neighbors, no matter what kind of job we have. Many people, maybe you're one of them here this morning, have accepted a job which pays less because it was more fulfilling or gave them more time with their family or more time to do the things they love, things that really matter, and yes, more time to serve the Lord. Many people's view of work is less than what God says it is. Work is a gift from God. Many Christians hold a decidedly unbiblical view of work. Some view it as a curse, or at least part of the curse from a fallen world. Others make a false distinction between what they perceive as the sacred or spiritual, those things that serve God, and the secular, everything else. You're either serving the Lord or you're not. It either matters or it doesn't. Still others make their work an idol, expecting their work to provide them with their identity and their purpose in life, as well as being a source of joy and fulfillment that only God can give. In his book, The Purpose-Driven Life, Rick Warren writes, "Work becomes worship when you dedicate it to God and perform it with awareness of His presence. How many of you think God goes to work with you every Monday morning? So first, let's explore some faulty views of work. The first one would be the secular view. Those who hold a secular view of work believe that life is divided into two disconnected parts. God is over here in a spiritual dimension. Work is over here in another dimension, and the two have nothing to do with each other. That's the way our culture sees the church and our God. Worship whatever gods you choose. The world doesn't care. Sing their praises. Pray to them. Live for them. But keep it in your church houses on the weekend. Our culture does not want our faith lived out in the workplace. Not in the secular world. Or to them, don't bring that Christian stuff into the real world. Keep it over here in the spiritual world, not over here in the secular, real world. Don't bring your faith or the things of your faith to the public arena. We don't want your crosses and nativities on public grounds. We want rainbow flags flying. We don't want your prayers or any mention of your gods in our sports or graduations or our government. Don't bring your faith's rules to real lives, meaning stay out of the legal system. We see nothing wrong with killing babies and protecting whales. We want to live as a gender we create to fit our feelings, not as a gender forced upon us by your gods and your beliefs. We want to change the meaning of morality to suit our lifestyles. And we want you to conform to our values. We want to rewrite history. We want to destroy what offends us, which, by the way, today is what? Everything. So keep your faith, keep your beliefs, but keep them in your church houses. Don't bring them into the real world. The secular view says, God stays in His corner of the universe while I go off to work and live my life, and these two should never meet or interact. Can you see the problem with the secular view of work? If you leave God out of the picture, then you have to get your sense of importance, your sense of fulfillment, of reward and purpose from someplace else. And usually, that comes from your work. If you are good at your work, if your work is going good, if you're getting praises at work, if you're getting promotions and raises, your work is very fulfilling. It makes you feel good. But if it's a 9-to-5 grind, you got a boss that doesn't care about you, doesn't even say your name right, you haven't had a raise in 10 years, on and on the list. How do you feel about work? What does work give to you? I can't tell you the number of people who've said about their work, I'd leave in a heartbeat if I could get another offer. Work becomes the answer to the questions, who am I? Why am I important? That's a very shaky foundation, because what happens if you lose your job? This pandemic showed a lot of people. You can lose your job. You lose your job, and yet if that's where everything is wrapped up in, then you're suddenly a nobody. You're not important because you're not employed. That secular view of work tends to make an idol of your career. That is, career becomes the number one priority in your life. Your relationship to God takes a back seat. You will work overtime rather than go to worship. Your family takes a back seat. They'll have to make that trip to the lake without you this weekend. You've got work to do. Even your relationship with other people takes a back seat to your work. People who used to be as close to you as a brother, you now step on to get a little further up the ladder. Everything gets filtered through the question, how will this impact my career? The secular view of work leaves God out of the system. Now, I don't have to tell you this is particularly unacceptable for Christians. God calls us to make Him the center of our lives, first and always. He wants to be weaved into every aspect of our lives, including work. He wants to be invited and included even in our work. He wants to be Lord of our lives every day, everywhere. Another faulty view of work is we begin to value the eternal over the temporary, so much so that we believe only eternal things really matter. The rest, no big deal. Some people believe if you work for things that won't last into eternity, you're wasting your time. The truth is, God created two sides of reality, the temporary and the eternal. The natural universe is very real. It is just as real as the supernatural world. He created them both. There are angels and demons. There are spiritual forces of evil. There are heavenly realms and spiritual realms. In fact, Paul tells us in his letter to the Ephesians, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Asking which of those is real, spiritual or natural, is like asking which is real, our 9 months in our mother's womb or only our life after birth. They are both real. They are both necessary. You cannot have one without the other. You have to go through one to get to the other. If you don't believe that, ask any woman who's ever had a baby. Those things we do and those things we make on earth do have value. It's okay for things to have simply temporary value, since God chose for us first to live in time before we get to live in eternity. Our work counts in both time and eternity because God is looking for faithfulness now. And the only way to demonstrate faithfulness is within this physical world, amongst the temptation, amongst the evil forces, amongst all that. Will you be faithful? That's in this world. That's our test. Spiritual needs are important too, of course. But physical needs also need to be met. Isn't that why Jesus fed the hungry, healed the sick, raised the dead? Try sharing the gospel with somebody who hasn't eaten in 3 days. Some needs are temporary, and those need to be met too. Man's first job was to take care, to look after God's creation. Remember? God created mankind in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. That's the only commandment we ever kept. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky and over every living creature that moves on the earth. Take control of this world. Take care of it. Keep it. Tend it. Work it. In the very next chapter, we read, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. We're here for a purpose, and the physical world's just as valuable to God as the spiritual. Don't try to separate temporary from eternal. Since time began, God has been equipping people with abilities to meet the needs of his creation. Man and the animals, plant life and sea life alike. You want a house built? Call him, don't call me. I tried to help him build my deck. Didn't know how. He soon asked me to go get him something to drink. That became my job. Don't let the water run out. Or you could carry that board over here. We need another one of those. But use this saw, drive that nail. Not on my work site. You want your car fixed? I call on Jim a lot. I won't tell on you there, okay? That's money under the table. And I'm going to double it, right? 2 times 0 is... You get what I'm saying? God's equipped each of us to do something to help in this world and to help each other in this world. But he hasn't given us all the same gift. You want someone to marry you? I don't mean marry you, but to officiate your wedding? I'll be glad to do that. You want to be baptized? Anybody can do that. Jeff can do that if you want a real preacher to baptize you. I can do that too. Since the beginning of time, God's equipped each of us with abilities to meet the needs of his creation. And in meeting the legitimate, physical, temporary needs of people, our work serves people, and people have eternal value because God loves people. A third faulty view of work is when we see it only as a platform for doing evangelism. Now, don't misunderstand me. Evangelism is a priority, true. But it's not our only priority. Paul tells us in his letter to the Galatians, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Not only to the family of believers. And don't force it down people's throats. And don't demand it. But as opportunity lends itself, as opportunities come, do good to all people. Evangelism is our first work, but it's not our only work. Our worth ethics should show we are living a life that honors God and loves people. Honesty and integrity should pour from the seams of our bodies when we work. Every co-worker around us should know by the way we live and by the way we do our work that we are Christians, no matter what that work is. But we must not make them think we are better than them. Everyone at your workplace is as important to God as you are. Everybody at your work or that you work with or for are loved just as much by God as you are. Your work matters to God. In their book, Your Work Matters to God, by the way, we host that seminar here by webcast every year. Your Work Matters to God, in their book, the author suggests 4 major reasons why your work is valuable. And one is because through work, you serve people. Most work is a part of a network, connected, interconnected with other jobs and with other people. God has put you in your workplace to shed an authentic light in both your words and in your deeds for his glory and for the sake of the gospel. Far too many people in our world view the church as full of hypocrites. Where do you think they get that idea? Could it be from Christians who say one thing on Sundays in church and then live another way at work on Monday? I think about where they observe the difference. They don't usually join us in church. But could it be in the workplace where they see a difference, where we will say out this side of our mouth how much we love the Lord and how good our church is, and when you come to this, and then out this side of the mouth how you get the picture. Like Jesus, we should be seeking to serve, not to be served, even at work. Secondly, through our work, we meet our own needs. Work allows us to exercise the gifts and abilities that God gives to each of us. Scripture says, we gave you this rule. The one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. Now read that carefully, will you? It does not say the one who cannot work. It says the one who is unwilling to work. We are supposed to take care of the one who cannot work. As of June the 8th, last Tuesday, 5 days ago, according to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, there were 9.3 million job openings in America. How many of you have seen those signs at every place around town, now hiring? Can't hardly go in a place, especially a restaurant, department stores, anywhere you go, now hiring. Some can't work, some won't. Those who can't, we take care of. Those who can, work. It's how you meet your needs. And through work, thirdly, we meet our family's needs. God expects us to provide for our families. Timothy says it quite bluntly. People don't like this, but it's quite bluntly. It's here. Anyone who does not provide for their relatives, and especially for their own household, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Take care of your family. Work helps us do that. Now, real quickly, as we get ready to close, here are a couple of suggestions that will help with making your work matter more to you and for Christ and to those around you. Number one, live as a Christian at work. Be on Monday what you say you are on Sunday. Jeff and I have said for a long time, if what we do here on Sunday does not go with you to work or to school on Monday, we didn't do any good at all. Be on Monday what you profess to be on Sunday. Live as a Christian at work. Secondly, pursue worthy goals. Don't just work for the money, or the promotions, or the benefits. Those are all good things. They are important, especially when you're trying to provide for your family and give to the needs of others and to the ministries of the church. But they should be more a result of your Christian character and good work than the pursuit of your life. And thirdly, even at work, look for people to serve and protect. They're all around you. I don't know about you, but I still love these videos of the kids who will notice at school at lunchtime that one kid sitting by themselves. You've seen those? So they pick up their tray, go over and sit with them, talk with them. Or they're protecting them when others start picking on them. I just love that. Look for those people and then do something for them, with them. We should look for, serve, and protect the least of these. and not just rub elbows with the influential who can help you climb the ladder. Do you know what they'll think if you hang out with them? I don't care what they think, because I know what Jesus will think. Be a listening ear at work, at school. Share a kind word. Offer a helping hand. Be there when opportunity comes. Be there for prayer and for help. Almost all of you know my wife is a travel agent. She does probably 90% or more of her work on the phone or online. And yet her clients are all over the country. And you'd be surprised. I am absolutely amazed at how many of them call not just for travel, but call and say, would you pray for our family? This or that's happening. Now, how many of you have had people call you just, but didn't have anything to do with your work, but just say, they know you're a Christian. They know you believe in God. They know you believe in prayer because of the way you've done your work. The story is told. Mike Cornwell, you'll need to look this up for me. Aren't you the expert on Abraham Lincoln? The story is told of a day Abraham Lincoln, before he was president, went to visit a slave auction. He was appalled at the sights and sounds of people buying and selling other human beings. As the story goes, his heart was especially drawn to one young woman on the auction block whose story was told in her eyes. She looked with hatred and contempt on everyone around her. She had been used and abused all of her life, and standing on the trading block was just one more humiliation. The bidding was open, and Lincoln began to bid. As the bidding went up, he would just bid a little higher. One man, the story says, tried to top his bid, but Lincoln would not be topped. Finally, he won. He paid the auctioneer for the slave woman. And then the woman asked Lincoln in a rather bitter voice, what are you going to do with me? And Lincoln said, I'm going to set you free. Free? She said, free for what? Just free. Completely free. Free to do whatever I want? Yes, Lincoln said, free to do whatever you want. Free to go wherever I want? Yes, free to go wherever you want. And with a change in her tone and with a smile, the woman said, well then, I'm going with you. That's the way Jesus is. He comes into our lives and he frees us from all those things that we chase after to find security and purpose and meaning and fulfillment and happiness and all those things. But when we put him in the center of our lives, we're free and we grow and we become more like him and we achieve and we succeed because we follow him. Perhaps our takeaway this morning is just a challenge for us all. Seek to discover God's vision for your vocation. Why? Why in God's sovereignty has he placed you in this job? How can you bring him glory with your work? How can you serve your neighbor with what you do at work? Seek to discover Christ's vision for your work. Your work really does matter, no matter what that work is. And I might say by way of invitation, no matter what work you do, you can also find times and ways to use all of that ability and gifts and skills that God has blessed you with to work for his kingdom. Well, it doesn't have to be full-time. You don't have to go to seminary and become a preacher. You can teach Sunday school class. You can work with the kids in nursery. Work with the kids in junior church. You can pass out bread on the weekend. You can make a run to Costco and pick up extra things. You can join the Matters, Matt, or Plarn Mats together for the homeless. You can help serve and feed kids at Candlewood. The list is endless. You can help with crafts in VBS. You can help with snacks in VBS. You can help with snacks any day of the week. We have a place for them here at church. Several, in fact. You can use your work, even in kingdom work. Finding a good church home where you can be a part of His kingdom work is such a beautiful blend. But just understand, we don't believe that your kingdom work is all done here on Sunday mornings, 10 o'clock, one service. Because as you leave our drive, remember what it says? You are now entering your mission field. As you go home, as you go to work, as you go to school, that's where you can do kingdom work too. Your work matters to God.